Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Acts chapter 9. Remember, the book of Acts is a book of conversions. It is the book in the New Testament that tells us how people became Christians then and how we also can become Christians today. And so this is a book about how to obey the gospel, how to become a New Testament Christian. There are really two conversions in this lesson that we're going to focus on. The first in Acts chapter 9 is the conversion of Saul. We are going to go from Saul the persecutor to Paul the evangelist, the one who is spreading the message of the very one he persecuted at one time. Saul's conversion is recorded for us in Acts chapter 9. And it is a wonderful example of the power of the gospel, even in enemies' lives. Saul, no doubt, is an enemy of the gospel of Christ. We can learn, first of all, in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, that Saul is wreaking havoc against the church. He is persecuting, he's breathing threats against the family of God. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 tells us that Saul was still breathing threats against the church. And he went to the elders, the high priest, asked that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. Here we see Saul's horrible life, his horrible actions against the church. This is why Paul will no doubt say in 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 through 18, that I'm the chief of sinners. I was injurious. I was a blasphemer. I was harmful, he will say, to the cause of Christ. Yet this man, who is wreaking so much havoc on the church, is about to be confronted with the great light. Saul goes from breathing threats against the church to being confronted with the light of Jesus Christ. He's traveling down the road to Damascus, and suddenly a great light shone around him, and Saul heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Here Saul is presented with Jesus face to face. He is presented to Jesus as that great light shines around him. He's presented with the truth of the gospel in this revelation as well. To really be converted, a person must change from their past life and they must be confronted with Jesus. There is no conversion without confrontation. Not in a bad sense, but you must be confronted with who Jesus is, of what He expects of you, and all we learn about Him in the New Testament. So here's Saul. He's confronted with Jesus. He hears the Word. Romans 10:17 teaches us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes, we have to hear what God has to say on the matter of salvation if we're going to be saved. And the only way to hear properly is to hear the words of Christ, the words found in the New Testament. Do you remember that example in Matthew chapter 17 where Peter, James, and John are on the mountain with Jesus? And Jesus is transfigured before them. Elijah and Moses appear. But as soon as Peter blurts out, "It's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles." The Bible says before he even finished, a voice came down from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Matthew chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. And so to hear properly, we have to hear and be confronted with the words of Christ. But I want you to notice something good about Saul here. Look at Saul's attitude, especially in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. Here Saul is confronted with Jesus. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." Notice Acts chapter 9, verse 6. "So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do.'" Although Saul had been persecuting Jesus, although he was wreaking havoc on the church, when he was confronted with Christ, he did have the right attitude. It would have been hard not to, as that light shone around him, as he was blinded. Saul is enforced to hear what God has to say, and he does receive it with a good attitude. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" You know, that's one of the great questions in the New Testament. We could all ask that question of ourselves. "Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to your word? What is it that you have for me to achieve in this life? How should I become a Christian? What must I do as a Christian once I obey the gospel?" It's a very practical question. What do you want me to do. And God wants each of us to obey His will. Matthew 7:21, it's not everybody who just looks up and says, "Lord, Lord," that's going to heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. The Lord wants us to obey His will, to listen to His Word, and to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Now Saul is told, you're going to go in the city, and it's going to be told you what to do. In Acts chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, we know that Saul's companions lead him by the hand. He is blinded by that great light. They lead him by the hand into the city. He is there in the city praying. Acts chapter 9, verse 11 teaches us. He's been without food and he's there praying. Now, God, in Saul's conversion, He speaks to Saul, but then He also speaks to another servant named Ananias. In Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19, God is going to tell Ananias, I want you to go to the city or to the street called Straight. I want you to preach to one called Saul. And Ananias goes, wait a minute now. I've heard about this Saul. Isn't he the one who's doing so much harm to the cause of Christ? Isn't he the one who's doing so much persecuting to Christians? And the Lord says, now you go. He's a chosen vessel of mine to reveal my name to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. Ananias heeds the word. He goes to Saul and he preaches the gospel to him. But as we think about Saul's conversion, we need to think about one very important point, and that is from the life and conversion of Saul, we learn very clearly that a sinner's prayer won't save anybody. Friend, as I read through the New Testament, there is only one time I can find a sinner praying in accord with salvation, and it was not that prayer that saved. Notice what Acts chapter 9, verse 11 says. Here we're going to learn about Saul as he's waiting on Ananias. So the Lord said to him, arise, this is God's command to Ananias. I want you to arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Look now, for behold, what is he doing? He is praying. Saul had been there without food. He'd been fasting, and he'd been praying. Friend, if there was ever a man who prayed a many a sinner's prayer, you can be guaranteed it was the Saul of Tarsus. But did those prayers save him? No. We learn that the sinner's prayer is not what saves a person. Now, friend, you're going to hear a lot of people who are going to get on TV, who are going to get on the radio, very popular religious people today. And they're going to stand up and at the conclusion of the gospel that they preach, they're going to say something like this. If you believe in Jesus, come down front and say the sinner's prayer, accept Him in your heart, and you'll be saved. Then they tell you to say something like, dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. Come into my heart and save my soul. Something to that effect. Now, two things to make a point about here. First of all, you don't ever find that prayer in the Bible. And secondly, in the book of Acts, which is a book of conversions, you don't ever find anyone being told to say the sinner's prayer to be saved. The only sinner's prayer you find in the book of Acts, the book of conversions, is Saul, and the prayer itself did not save Saul. What was it that Saul had to do to be saved? Well, Saul recounts this in Acts chapter 22. Ananias is going to come to Saul, and we're going to find out exactly what Saul had to do. Remember, the Lord said, you go in the city, and it'll be told you what you must do. What was that must that Paul had to do to be saved? What did God require of him to receive salvation? Let's turn our attention to the words of Ananias, found in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Look at what Ananias says to Paul regarding salvation. Ananias says to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul believed in Jesus. He heard the voice. He called Him Lord. No doubt he was ready to make changes. He was ready to change his ways. He indeed confessed Jesus, no doubt. But as we think about the conversion of Saul, even though he had been praying, Saul still had something to do. Saul had to get up and obey God's voice by being baptized in water to wash away his sins. Now, friend, we're not saying that there's anything mystical or magical in the water. It's not the water that necessarily has anything mystical or magical in it, but it is obedience to the command of God that saves us. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21 that it was not the removal of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. And he says this, baptism does now also save us. We don't wash sin off of our body, but when God tells us to do something and we respond with a good conscience and obey Him, that's what God expects of us. And so how did Saul call the name of the Lord? How was Saul saved? At what point were his sins washed away? From Acts 22:16, it is clear that Saul's sins were washed away at the point of baptism. Why is that? Because it is at the point of baptism that we contact the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood is what saves us. Matthew 26, verse 28. And Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 teaches us that we reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in dying to sin, being buried with Him in water, and rising up out of those waters to walk in newness of life. Just as Jesus died, so we die to sin. Just as He was buried, so we are buried in water. And it is at that point that we contact the death of Christ and we rise up out of the water, no longer that old man, but a new man ready to walk in newness of life. And so this gives us great detail about the conversion of Saul. Now, once Saul was converted, the text is going to tell us that he goes around preaching the gospel. Saul is a great encouragement to all of us. Just days before he had been going around teaching against Jesus, anyone of the way, he was taken into prison, he hears the gospel and he obeys it, and now he's out doing what he had condemned days before. This man was truly converted to the gospel. Oh, how we need people like Paul today, who when he heard the gospel, he obeyed it, and he literally spent his life. Here's a man who spent his life, literally, for Jesus. Every waking moment was about pleasing the Lord. You know, Paul, probably because he had wasted so much time in Judaism, and because he had been so hard-nosed against the gospel, he decided, you know what, I'm going to live the rest of my life for Jesus. And isn't that really the attitude that we ought to have? All of us at one time have lived in sin. All of us have been selfish and foolish in our own lives. And yet, when we obey the gospel, when we realize the gift of salvation, each of us ought to have the attitude of Paul. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, I've died. My life no longer exists. I'm living for Jesus. That's the attitude every faithful child of God ought to have today. Now, as we turn away from the conversion of Saul in Acts chapter 9, we're introduced to another man and his conversion. Acts chapter 10 introduces us to a Roman soldier by the name of Cornelius. This man is indeed a Gentile. Do you remember that the gospel was going to go to the Jews first and then also to the Gentiles? In Acts chapter 2, the Jews heard the gospel. The doors were opened up and Jews became Christians. Acts chapter 10, the doors of the kingdom are now going to be opened up for the first time we have recorded to a Gentile who is not worshiping according to the Jewish religion. And thus Cornelius is the first Gentile convert. But as we look at Cornelius' life, we learn that Cornelius was a good man. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, that Cornelius was an upright man. He gave alms generously to the poor, and he prayed to God always. And his prayers went up as a memorial before God. But in this text, an angel is going to come to him and say, Cornelius, got someone coming to you. Get ready. There's going to come a gospel message. He sends an angel to Peter. Peter is going to hear that message, that vision, and he's also going to go to Cornelius and preach the gospel. But you know, there's a very powerful lesson to be learned in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. It is this. Good, moral people still need to hear the gospel to be saved. We invite you today to do exactly what they did then. Hear the Word. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Having believed in Him, then repent of your past sin. Turn from sin and turn to God. Confess Jesus Christ as God's Son and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you've not become a Christian, we want you to know that God loves you and that we love you. Why not obey the gospel of Christ before it's too late?